Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome in to the week four edition of the Temple May Bird Gang podcast. I'm your host, Andrew McDevitt. Once again, another Eagles loss. Drops them to 1-3 on the season. Very shortly here, I will be joined by Chase Sr., good friend, and also a Temple alum. I was actually down at the game in Washington, and it was a mess. FedEx Field, that's my first time in an away game. FedEx Field, not necessarily the nicest field I've ever been to. It doesn't compare to the Link. I was seated way up top. Standing room only seats. Most of FedEx Field up top is covered up for whatever reason. They have room for extra seating, but do not utilize it. But nonetheless, the Washington Redskins take down the Eagles 23-20 in a Week 4 matchup, a divisional matchup that drives the Eagles to 0-2 in the division. So they're not only in a hole being, 1-3 on the season, but they're also 0-2 in the division with losses to the Cowboys and the Redskins. Sam Bradford definitely improved, 15 of 28 on the day, 270 yards through the air, and three TDs. Coming into the game, he only had zero plays of 20-plus yards on the season, and on Sunday he had four plays of 20-plus yards. So now we are joined by Chase Sr. Chase, what's going on?
McDev, I'm trying to hold in there after that brutal loss on Sunday. I'm not really sure what to do with myself.
Chase, I was just saying, I was down there. It was embarrassing, man. Walking out of that stadium, getting grilled by Redskins fans, and there's nothing you can say. Chip Kelly was the genius that we all thought he had been, and right now, the only way to put it is that we're the laughingstock. People are laughing at what has happened here in Philadelphia.
We thought this guy had a PhD-type mind, but I'm not sure if he even has his associate's degree with the product that's on the field right now. It's brutal, and if I was walking out of FedEx Field in Maryland, I'm not sure I could do anything but have my head down.
It was bad, man. It was supposed to be a hurricane. Luckily, we escaped the rain. It was a pretty nice day, but FedEx Field, I'll tell you, it's pretty much a dump. There's one road in, there's one road out. It's a pain getting into the stadium. I was seated way up top, standing room only. They have a lot of seats covered up in the upper decks, but, what is that to say? The Eagles still lost, and the Redskins are now 2-2 in the division, and the Eagles are 1-3.
But somehow the Eagles are still a game back of the division lead, and I'm still trying to decipher that because with how poorly they've played, I didn't think the NFC East was going to be this bad through 1 month of the season, but that's what's happening right now. They're 1-3. They've been terrible on offense. Their defense just gave up a 15-play, 90-yard drive to Kirk Cousins, of all people, to lose the game late in heartbreaking fashion. Yet, with how porous they've been, they're one game away from tying it up in the division.
It's really unbelievable. Chip Kelly said, we're however many points away from being 3-1 or 4-0, but you look at it and the product that we've seen is just it doesn't look like you would be 3-1 or 4-0. They've been pretty close to bad. But this was the first time that I've been impressed with Sam Bradford. I was saying before he got on, coming into the game, he hadn't had a play over 20 yards in the passing game. And then this weekend, he had four, and two of them went for scores, and the third touchdown that he threw to Brent Celek was the most mobility we've seen from Sam Bradford, dodging tacklers in the backfield and making a great throw on the run, moving to his right to Brent Celek in the end zone.
He looked okay in that second half, but that first half, I thought the right move was for Chip Kelly to bench him just because he hadn't done anything good with the exception of that second half against Atlanta, and even then he was just consistently checking down. But we finally saw that when Sam Bradford finally has some confidence, I think that's when he's at his best. But he hasn't really had that opportunity to get into a groove for a multitude of reasons. One, he hasn't really been that accurate. Two, they still haven't been able to establish a running game. And three, A lot of the receivers have dropped a lot of footballs, which has really just stunted his growth in this offense in terms of getting into a rhythmic type of feel. But they finally threw the deep ball. He was on target on that throw to Miles Austin and Riley Cooper. I thought there was another couple of throws that he could have made, which might have been able to decide the game. But it all comes down to confidence with him. If he's able to be confident, I think he's a totally different quarterback. But he really has to work on his accuracy. And if it doesn't improve, you got to look at going to Mark Sanchez at some point, because he's been the most productive quarterback in Chip's offense in the last couple of years when it comes to putting points on the board.
I am definitely a Mark Sanchez supporter. I was last year, very much so, when Nick Foles was the guy going. But right now, to be honest, I'm still sticking with Sam Bradford. You gave up too much to get him. You're giving him $13 million. And there were signs. There were signs of it on Sunday. In the second quarter, this was what bothered me the most. And this isn't Sam Bradford. I'm going to put this on Chip Kelly. You finally got a spark. First 20-yard pass play of the season. Nelson Aguilar, a rookie, goes up and makes a fantastic one-handed grab. And then in 3 years, have we seen Chip Kelly run a reverse? Maybe he ran a couple end-arounds to DeSean Jackson, but never a reverse. And he decides after the first big play that they've gotten all season in the passing game to run a reverse, and the rookie drops the pitch, and there goes all your momentum, turnover, and right then and there. You know, you finally think you have something with a 20-plus yard pass play, and the play calling. I would have pounded DeMarco Murray three straight times, and whether you pick up a first down or not, you hope that you're in field goal range, and we already know the mess that has been the Eagles' kicking situation. And forget the Eagles. The kicking situation across the NFL has really been lackluster thus far this season.
It's been so bad, and Caleb Sturgis is just garbage. He wasn't even that good in Miami. He was at under 80% for his field goal percentage, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The decision to bring him in here was the right one. Hindsight is 20/20, and I know there aren't a ton of great field goal kickers out on the market, but I look at a guy like Connor Barth, who had kicked in Denver in some big games. He had always been pretty good, but they elected to bring Sturgis in here, and the kicking situation has cost the Eagles in two games. I'm not saying that the Eagles would have won the game against Atlanta and Washington with a better kicker, but the point differential points to the Eagles winning those games if the field goals and the extra points go through the upright.
So we look at the first field goal that Sturgis missed, a 33-yarder at the end of the half, and the kicker in that is, no pun intended, they had 6 points on the board. Sam Bradford made – that is a big-time throw that he made to Zach Ertz in the right corner of the end zone, fitting an out route in a tiny little window – for a
probably
touchdown that gets called back.
Season, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, he made a fantastic throw. And then, you know, whether it was Nelson Aguilar making a rookie mistake or I've heard Jason Kelce that is just absolutely perplexed about the call that was made, saying that Nelson Aguilar told the ref that he was trying to line up off the ball and not cover up the tight end. But nonetheless, the Eagles get called for an illegal procedure penalty, take the touchdown off the board. They can't get a first down. And then Caleb Sturgis misses a 33-yard field goal at the end of the first half. And the Eagles go into the half once again without a single point on the board.
This just comes back to, like, this Eagles offense not having any type of momentum. They haven't been able to sustain it. So, like, before the half, or after that Riley Cooper touchdown, you finally get something going. And you have some momentum on your side, and then you miss a 33-yard chip shot extra point. That just can't happen. You have to capitalize on opportunities to kind of put the opposition on its heels, but the Eagles haven't done that at all year long, and you can look at every single game as an instance of that. Like, in the second half against Atlanta, they have all the momentum in the world. They're driving down the field. They're just going at Atlanta at will, but then when the time comes for them to put them away, they're not able to do it. Against Dallas, it's the same type of thing. They drive down the field. Sam Bradford throws an interception that's picked off by Sean Lee. That a touchdown right there would have gotten them back in the game. And then against the Jets offense faltered throughout the entire afternoon. You have an opportunity to to just kind of put them in the trash can and close the lid, and they couldn't do it. And then it was the same thing against Washington. That game was winnable. I mean, they get the ball back at midfield, and on third down, Darren Sproles is wide open on that little button hook. It's an easy throw for any NFL quarterback to make. Heck, I think you and I could have made it, McDev, and Sam Bradford misses the throw, and it was a catchable ball for Sproles, but that results in a three and out when you're at midfield, and that just can't happen.
Yeah, you're right. That's an elementary throw, and yes, it was catchable for Sproles, but at the same time, you put that in his numbers, and who knows, Darren Sproles in space, he could have made something happen and scored on the play. But Sproles, getting back to Sproles, not enough touches for him. 4 touches in the rushing game, and he had 0 catches on the day. And you look back at the Jets game, where they really were able to establish a running game with Ryan Matthews over 120 yards, and I think it was close to 20 carries. Ryan Matthews was on the field on Sunday for 13 plays. He touched the ball 5 times. Then you look at your guy that you're paying $40 million, DeMarco Murray, clearly back healthy, because on the first touch that he had the Eagles' best rush of the season of 30 yards. Fantastic cutback. The offensive line in that zone rushing scheme closed down the backside, and he found a great cutback. And then Chip Kelly went away from it. 8 carries for 36 yards. You heard how frustrated DeMarco Murray was after the game. And I'm getting scared that a couple more losses like this and Chip Kelly would be very close to losing this newly put-together locker room.
Yeah, I know that they have some talented running backs, and even in the receiving core, like Jordan Matthews hasn't gotten as many catches as we would have hoped through 4 games. But at the same time, and this does go back to the play calling and the decision-making of Chip Kelly, but they only had about, 51 snaps on the offensive side of the football. And when you have a three-headed monster and only that many snaps and you can't establish a running game, you're not going to be able to give it to DeMarco Murray 20, 30 times. But in the future, in the next coming games, I think the Eagles might just say, hey, we're going to give the ball to DeMarco Murray, just hand it off to him 25, 30 times and just see what happens. Because he's got to be bound to break a big run sooner or later, right? And then that gives him some confidence with his vision and ability. It kind of gets the offensive line going a little bit. I don't know. I mean, this offense is in a really bad spot right now because they haven't really been able to do anything well. And that goes back on the Chip.
Following the embarrassment of walking out of that field with my head down, you come back after the game and listen to Chip's press conference after the game and then on Monday. And all we heard, it's the new Andy Reid, I got to do a better job. Chip Kelly just says, execution, execution, execution. Well, at some point when you realize you're not executing, maybe you change something up. But we haven't seen that from Chip. He continues to stick to his hurry-up offense and plays are way more important than time of possession. But either way, you ran 51 plays in comparison to the Redskins' 79. You're not getting what you want, whether it's execution or scheme. At some point, when you're realizing that something doesn't work, you need to adjust. And we have, in 3 years, we have never seen Chip Kelly differentiate from his, read option, hurry up offense.
He did a little bit against the Jets, and he switched up the pace a little bit, but that whole execution line is just getting old to me because
yes.
You're going to come out and say, we need to do a better job of executing. But isn't it your job as the head coach, as the general manager, as the star of football operations to put your players in a position where they can succeed and execute?
And we haven't, DeMarco Murray, we saw what he did in a position where he could execute in an I formation offense. And he set the NFL on fire and led the league in rushing and attempts. And Chip Kelly has insisted that, my scheme is the way to go. And, it's just execution. If we execute right, DeMarco Murray is going to have a great day. At least with Andy Reid's I got to do a better job that we all got sick of, he was putting some of the responsibility on himself. Chip's just saying, as a team, we need to execute better. Not me. Our offense is fine. We just need to execute it.
This comes back to putting the players in an advantageous position where they can actually make plays. You have to adjust in the NFL because sooner or later people will be able to figure you out. But right now, this offense is quite predictable because he's tried going under center with Sam Bradford and putting DeMarco Murray in the backfield. But then every time you do that, the defense knows, okay, Sam Bradford's under center, that means what? That means that DeMarco Murray is going to run the ball because they don't do a lot of play action. You have to switch it up at some point. Maybe you do a little play action where you fake the handoff to Murray, Matthews, or Sproles, and then you throw deep downfield. Maybe you're under center with a back behind you, and you take a three-step drop and fire it quick on the slant route. You have to find a way to put the defense on its heels where they don't know what's coming because right now this offense is pretty predictable.
And briefly, you mentioned the 15-play, 90-yard drive that the Redskins had to win the game. They were completely unpredictable on that drive. They ran the ball at times. They threw deep passes at times, a lot of crossing routes to Pierre Garçon. And Billy Davis's defense was on their heels. It was something that Chip Kelly has not been able to do to other teams' defenses and defensive coordinators. And it's Kirk Cousins, man. Like, we sat back here last week and said, if it's going to come down to it, we would probably take Sam Bradford over Kirk Cousins. But 15 plays, 90 yards, 6 minutes, and the throw that he made to Pierre Garçon was top-notch. That is a grade-A throw with a game on the line and a great catch by Pierre Garçon getting whacked in the mouth. And, you know, it's a shame the Eagles couldn't make a play, but you have to give credit to the Redskins on a 15-play, 90-yard drive with the game on the line.
I think this Eagles defense is a lot better than previous years. I like where the secondary is. I don't think Byron Maxwell is as bad as people have casted him out to be. Walter Thurman moving to safety has been a brilliant move by the coaching staff because he's a ball hawk. He's been pretty good against the run. Nolan Carroll has been a pretty good find after they didn't really play him at all last year. And that front seven, I think, is one of the better units in football. But at the same time, defenses are known and recognized for what they do in the clutch. And what the Seahawks did last night is a prime example of that. They're in danger of going 1-3. And I know the officials didn't make the right play, but still, Cam Chancellor punches the football out from Calvin Johnson as he's leaping towards the goal line. That saves the Seahawks' season. They're now at 2-0, which is just widely different from being 1-3 on the year. And then on the other side, the Eagles have an opportunity for the defense to come up, make a statement, prove that this year's unit is different from years past, and then Kirk Cousins drives 15 plays, 90 yards for a game-winning score. It was a great catch by Pierre Garçon. You got to give him credit for that. And the throw was pretty good, too, because he fitted in between two defenders. But the defense had an opportunity to clamp down, and they let loose.
The two defenders on the play right around Pierre Garçon, E.J. Biggers and Eric Rowe. You can attribute that to Chip moving away from people. We watched Kerry Williams last night in lockdown coverage on Calvin Johnson, arguably the most physically gifted receiver in the league. Kerry Williams was on him basically all night and played spectacular. And then Byron Maxwell obviously wasn't in the game because of a shoulder injury. Michael Kendricks missed extended time with that hamstring injury. Brandon Bear and Taylor Hart weren't on the field late in the game. And I don't want to blame Chip Kelly for this, but all of these, you know, soft tissue nagging injuries were supposed to be figured out by sports science, and the Eagles are riddled with them right now. And then you look, all right, so the defense was banged up. You look at the offensive line, where coming into the season, we knew that there was limited depth, and that was going to be an issue. Jason Peters out with an injury. Andrew Gardner out with an injury. Lane Johnson out with an injury. Who is going to play for this team if these guys can't go next week?
It's highly concerning because the offensive line is the weakest part of the football team, and that's been the biggest reason for the Eagles' struggles through this early portion of the season. If Jason Peters can't go, you're looking at Matt Tobin going to left tackle, And if Lane Johnson can't go because of a sprained MCL, who are you throwing out there? Dennis Kelly as your right tackle? That's not.
And then who plays the guard?
That's not ideal right there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the soft tissue issues that were supposed to be figured out by sports science clearly have not been the case, and the Eagles are riddled with injuries. And you can't use that as an excuse because everyone has injuries and that's a part of the game. But nonetheless, the Eagles are going to be in trouble when they face a 1-3 Saints if these guys can't go. And you look at the 1-3 Saints. They took down the Cowboys in overtime on Sunday night. They lost early on some head-scratching games in there. They lost to the Bucs, which was interesting after Jameis Winston had that, you know, abysmal start to his career. But right now, the teams at 1-3 in the NFC, the Bucs, the 49ers, the Eagles, the Saints, and the Bears. And the Bears won this weekend, too. So if you lose to the Saints, you're looking at, like, there may be two or three teams worse than you in the NFC, and that's it. That is a huge hole to climb your way out of.
You win on Sunday against the Saints, you're still in a position to win the division. You lose against the Saints, you drop to 1-4, and you're going down dire straits. That could be the loss that breaks this team apart. And by no means am I saying that which leads to Chip Kelly's job status next year, because I think Jeffrey Lurie has shown that he's patient in the past. I think Chip enjoys the challenge of being in the NFL. I think he will be back next year. But sooner or later, the message of we have to execute gets old. Sooner or later, you have to adjust your play calling and how you're operating on the offensive side of the ball. He's the one that's calling the plays. If it doesn't work, you have to change things up, because through five games, that's a big enough sample size for you to realize, okay, this isn't working. We have to start from scratch, go back to ground zero, and figure things out and build it up from the ground up.
I completely agree. I've always been a huge Chip Kelly supporter. You know, I'm dwindling in my faith of him. But nonetheless, we really don't have any other option right now. And I'm going to say that I'm still behind Chip because we have to be. But if they lose to the Saints on Sunday, it's going to be hard for me to say, you know what, I'm still behind Chip Kelly and we need to execute better and this, that, and the other thing. Because, like you said, it looks like in their last eight regular season games that they've struggled and it looks like they've been figured out.
What would you say, 70 to 80% of the fan base trusted Chip Kelly? Would you say that's an accurate consensus?
I would completely agree, yeah. Everyone, when Jeffrey Lurie turned over the keys to this franchise 100% to Chip Kelly, no one was saying, you know, what are we doing? We really got to trust in Howie. These are Howie's guys that made them 10-6 in the past two seasons. And now everyone's coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, they should have never given Chip control of this franchise. But we all stood behind Jeffrey Lurie when he did that back in January.
Stop it. And there were a select few people that came out and said, I'm wary of this decision. I don't know what they're doing. Chip Kelly's resume hasn't really spoken for itself because he hasn't won that national championship game at the college level. He hasn't won a playoff game at the NFL level. I think all that talk was a little bit overhyped because Jimmy Johnson hadn't done much in his first 2 years with the Cowboys. And then in the modern day, Bruce Arians is just touted as some great coach, and he is, but he hasn't won a playoff game either. But everybody was on board with that decision to give Chip the keys to this organization. And with that came a trust factor in which a lot of people trusted Chip to make the necessary moves to get this team to the next level. And we thought that's why he kind of called for this change, because he knew what he had to do to propel this team to the upper echelon teams in the NFL. And so far, it's just not working. Look, I know there's a lot of new moving parts, and this offense is kind of remade with the guys that they've brought in here. So maybe this offense just hasn't clicked yet, because we have seen McDev, what this team has been able to do in spurts for two quarters against the Redskins and for two quarters against the Falcons. Is it coming close to for it all to come together? Maybe, but that's taking a positive approach, obviously.
Yeah, definitely taking a positive approach. But another thing you can look at is that in the first four games of the season, they've only been home one time. Obviously, the one time that they were home, it's one of the worst football games I've ever watched. But
yeah,
nonetheless,
they
get to come home and play the Saints this weekend. The Saints on defense, they're not great. 23rd in the league in scoring defense, 27th against the run. So if there's a time for Chip Kelly to really put this offense back on the map, it would be against the Saints coming home finally for the first time in 3 weeks.
That's one plus, but the Eagles haven't really played really well at home. Chip Kelly kind of changed that last year. And the year prior, they started to win a couple of games. But the last couple of years of the Andy Reid era and in the beginning of the Chip Kelly era, Lincoln Financial Field hasn't really been a great place for the Eagles to play. But you're coming back home. You're in desperate need of a victory. The Saints aren't that great of a road team. Drew Brees is still banged up with that sprained rotator cuff and his throwing shoulder. I don't think New Orleans has a ton of talent on either side of the ball. This is a game you have to win, and if you lose this game, it's safe to say the season could be over.
Definitely safe to say. And you and I, in our 2 weeks of doing this, are both 0-2 in picks. So let's change it. Let me hear it, Chase. What do you got?
Ah, man. Each time I've taken the Eagles to win this year, they've lost. And the time I didn't take them, they won. I'm superstitious sometimes when it comes to things like this, but hey, I'll ride with the Eagles. I'll give them one last chance to prove me wrong. After the game Sunday, I looked at the Eagles gear that I was wearing and some of the pictures I have hanging up in my apartment, and I just felt disgraced to be an Eagles fan. But Chip, I'm putting my eggs in your basket. I'm trusting you one last week. I'm trusting you to turn this ship around. I'm jumping on the chip ship again, and the Eagles beat the Saints 28-24.
Oh, man, and like you said, it was embarrassing. I walked out of Washington and was embarrassed. Everyone on the bus ride home, dead silent, fell asleep. It was a mess. I'm happy you mentioned the chip ship. My good buddy Andrew Porter from WIP always talks about driving the chip ship. And I said, man, I got my life jacket on. I got a foot in the life raft. I'm hanging on the edge, but I'm staying with them this week. I'm going to take the Eagles. I like what you said. You said 28-24. I'm going to say 31-27. So similar score. They finally get the offense going. It's time, man. Desperate team back against the wall. They got to get it going. Chase, we got 90 seconds. I just wanted to briefly talk about our boys, the Temple Owls, 4-0. Something to root for. Tell me about them.
I'm pumped for the Temple Owls, and to be an alum of that institution, I know it's granted you and I so many opportunities, and that football team that we covered so exclusively the last couple of years, we knew that they were on the brink of breaking out, and to see Matt Rhule and those boys finally doing that and looking at like one of the best teams in the American Athletic Conference, on the cusp of being ranked in the top 25 for the first time since the 80s, and being 4-0 for the first time since 1974, it's a great feeling, and I'm going to continue to support the Temple Owls, and I hope that they can make some damage, and I hope they're undefeated going into that Notre Dame game on Halloween.
Yeah, Notre Dame kind of screwed us there with a chance to bring College Game Day to the city of brotherly love, but the Owls, man, 4-0, they got Tulane for homecoming this weekend. That's Temple Made Bird Gang, baby. Love doing it each week. Chase, I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.